And welcome everybody to the latest edition of the Padre Cast. This represents the last Padre Cast before E3, where we'll get a couple recordings done actually on site there with reporting on the latest. And but before we go into some E3 expectations in this Padre Cast, we're going to talk about some other big news from the last week in sports gaming, and then also run down a couple stories in entertainment. And this is kind of an interesting show for us. It's the first time we have three people on, and I hesitated to say a three-way because that's just inappropriate. So let me first introduce, he's always here with me. It's Fred. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pasta.
And we also have Dylan. I almost forgot his name. Dylan, known as Jerkface Fave. He's that important to me. He's close to my heart. And he also, he'll occasionally write a story, usually on UFC or something. And he's also founded the forums running our PFC league. How are you doing, Dylan? You nervous?
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but you're nervous, right?
Yeah, and your glorious introduction really helped a lot. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, I wanted to really bring out the essence of Jerkface Fave, and I think I have. But yeah, let's get right into the UFC talk, because it's big on Dylan's mind, but it's also big on everyone's mind. And this is something that, with the release just about a week and a half ago, Fred and I were going to talk about this on the last podcast, and I completely just passed over it and realized it afterwards. But there was a lot going on with UFC around release and then post-release. The first things are the impressions this year, mainly due to some pretty big issues when the game released, especially with online play and a couple gameplay issues. A lot of people, a lot of gamers seem to be down on it, and we're also seeing that in some of the sales numbers, which are early reports are coming back that it's been disappointing. It hasn't been selling up to expectations. Then you had the whole big process with the online play code and how they dealt with getting the information out there, or maybe avoided getting information out there on the process. But the good news is, yeah, it's had all those problems, but THQ has started to be responsive in this, and they've got a patch in the works, possibly being submitted this week to Microsoft and Sony, and then we're still a couple weeks out after that for certification. So we may be seeing improvements here coming down the line. Maybe too little too late for some people, but at least we got something coming. Now, I still enjoy the game, but for some reason this year, I'm not enjoying it as much as I did last year, and I don't know if that's partially to do with just the fresh feel it had last year, being a new franchise, and now we're on the yearly cycle, and it's not quite the same to me. But so Fred, let me hear some of your early thoughts on UFC, because I know you went through some of the dilemmas that everybody else did.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating when I first got the game and popped it in, and then it just sat there at the loading screen. So I had to stare at Brock Lesnar for about 10-15 minutes before I actually was able to go on the menus. And, it's kind of pissing me off because I had played the demo. I really liked the demo, and then, I wanted to get in, start playing with some of the guys who I really wanted to play with, like John Bones Jones or something like that. And I'm just sitting there, Jesus Christ, what's going on? And, that made it frustrating for me. But once I was able to finally get in, I really liked the game from what I've played so far. Did a lot of exhibition matches. First thing I actually did, though, was I went and downloaded the card, which was Rampage against Rashad, which happened last weekend or the weekend before. And, I thought that was a really cool addition to the game. Sure, you can actually just make the matches and play them if you wanted to yourself, but I really like the fact that they put it out there so you can download it and fight all the matches if you wanted. I like that. I like the I started getting into the career mode, created my guy, and that it seemed kind of similar to last year. There's a few cool new additions. Like, I like how you don't start off straight in the UFC. You kind of go into that sort of like the cheaper promotion, and then you work your way up, and then when you do get promoted to the UFC, Dana White comes and interviews you and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of a cool addition. But as far as gameplay, I'm really digging the fighting system. Like the ability to throw guys against the cage and dirty box with them. just I think it's just an improvement above last year. Is it a significant improvement? I don't really think so, but any improvement for that game is gravy for me. So.
Yeah, and so the game released, and you mentioned that issue where you'd sit at the loading screen, and that was a server-related issue where even people who weren't going to play online were actually being affected because of the poor online implementation. And, Dylan and I, with wanting to set up the PFC League and everything, online play obviously is a big critical part of the game, and it was something that reviewers glossed over. We talked about in the past on past podcasts, and it turned out to be a complete mess at the beginning, so it was frustrating for us. Dylan, now that we're past that, how do you feel about the game?
Well, I think the game is it's a lot of fun. I still enjoy the game itself. There's a few things I don't like. I think the striking has taken a step back. It's a little too big bomb punches. Every punch is a knockout punch. Mm-hmm. Putting combinations together seems to be a lot more difficult on the feet. But the ground mechanics, I think, are a lot better, and especially the cage mechanics, which were non-existent last year. Those I'm quite a big fan of.
Yeah, so they, there's a lot of subtle improvements we saw this year, and I think for someone like myself who maybe isn't as adept at noticing the intricacies of the sport, or I don't recognize them quite as easily, but. I think that's maybe where a lot of people are going is this discontent over the game is either the problems with the game, like the Machida's automatic takedown or a few of those other things are really causing people to lose sight of those improvements, of those more subtle improvements. And I can't blame them for that. And I also think it's reasonable to understand why. Do you ever see a fight going to the cards? I haven't. Always ends with some sort of a knockout. Submissions are pretty difficult to actually pull off. So what do you think, Dylan? You've gotten some into career mode, right? I mean, that was a pretty big last year. People were maybe disappointed with the career mode, but understood that, it was the first year for the title. A deep career mode really isn't something you'd expect out of the first year, and so they were looking for it to deliver this year. Do you think they've brought a career mode here that's compelling enough?
I'd have to say no still. I mean, I think it's taken a small step forward, but fundamentally it's the same thing. You're just having a few more, interactions with, like, Dana White or starting at a different league. Essentially, though, other than on the surface, it's kind of the same thing. And there's still a lot of problems with it, like the degradation of your stats happens way too fast, and the ability to make those super creative fighters. You can get online and find a guy who will tell you how to make an uber fighter that can't be stopped. And that's a pretty big disappointment that they allowed that to happen when they promised that would not happen this year.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic that they release a list now of some of the issues they're working on for the patch, and mostly what we're seeing, other than online play, because no one could have any idea what would be wrong, is after the demo came out, people were talking about some of the exploits in the demo, and then THQ responded in a blog and basically said, no, these aren't problems, because here's how you counter it or whatever. And yeah, it turns out that they're problems, and now we have to wait for a patch on that. Fred, I talked about the sales dropping off a little bit this year, at least compared to expectations. Do you have any theories on that? I have a few of my own. I'm curious to see why you think that might be.
Well, I think it's a combination of maybe people just weren't ready for another UFC game. The one they did last year's, and it's pretty much the same game like Jerkface was talking about, only it was, slight improvements. Maybe some people didn't want to waste the money on buying a new game. Also, I'm sure that EA Sports MMA game had some effect on it. Some people may be waiting for that. They didn't really like last year's version, so they're holding out to see if this one's better. Those are my two theories on it.
Do you think, Fred, that the game is accessible enough? I mean, for us who maybe would put the time into the game to learn the controls and everything, I mean, even last year, you needed tutorials, and I pulled up the list of the controls, and it's overwhelming, because no matter what position you're in, the controls change. Half the time I feel like I'm guessing on what I'm doing and just hoping something happens. But at the same time, they kind of made the gameplay accessible to where, yeah, you can still go out and knock somebody out. Do you think maybe last year people tried it, and then now they're finding that it's just too confusing or too complicated?
Yeah, it could be, because like you did say, when you know, you can look at it when you're playing a demo, or even when you're playing the game, you can pause it and look at the list of moves that you've done. And some of that stuff, it's just like, oh, I didn't even know I did that move, or, you know, how do I even do that? But yeah, there's a ton of, you know, the controls can be a little bit hard to master, but at the same time, I think for me, because I'm a fan of MMA, you know, I know that it's not just a one-dimensional type of sport. You know, there is so many different aspects of the sport that, you know, with the fighting, whether it's ground and pound or your different types of, you know, jiu-jitsu or anything like that, different types of arts, you have to have a lot of controls for it. You know, if someone is just looking to go in there and just punch and kick, you can do that, but chances are if you're playing with someone who is advanced and knows how to counter that stuff, you're going to run into some problems. But
yeah,
for me as a MMA fan, I'm really glad that the controls are the way they are.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see with EA MMA is they're going to be a little more simple, a little easier to pick up on. So it'll be interesting to see whether, along with that, you can get the same depth that you do in UFC. As far as the sales, my personal opinion is I think once it's gone to a yearly title, I think it's a little more difficult to sell. I think maybe we didn't realize just how important roster turnover is. People run out to buy the next Madden, next NBA 2K, because the rosters are going to be completely different. Their teams are going to be completely different. UFC, yeah, we got some new fighters in here, but, you know, the prominent guys were already in there. So you're not seeing a huge difference there. Also, there was more competition this year, not necessarily in the sports genre, but Red Dead Redemption, you know, there was a whole bunch of games that came out within the last couple weeks. I'm sure that factored in also. So Dylan, online play, how do you feel that's working out so far? Now that we actually can play some online as opposed to the first few days, do you think it's there? Is there a balance there, or do you? Because I can't win online. I feel like I'm doing well, and then I just get knocked out. Is that just because I suck, or is it because am I just unlucky, or is there just there's different ways that people, and they've identified them, how to actually win online as opposed to going about it a different way?
Well, I think the first thing most people aren't picking up on is they tried to add more realism, and they have, in the sense that if you get punched in the face really hard four times, in real life you're going to be unconscious, and that can easily happen in this game. And I think people asked for that last year, and now that they actually have it, they don't like it. They want to be able to go in there and, you know, play Rock 'em Sock 'em Robots, and you cannot do that in this game. And also, you have to constantly be defending against the takedown, which I think is also a problem because the takedowns are too easy. They need to find a way to fix that. I think the best way to do that would be to the block button. If you're blocking, you're also defending a takedown. There shouldn't be a separate mechanic for defending a takedown and blocking. In a real life MMA fight, the average number of takedowns is 3. I have fights where there could be uppers of 10 to 15 takedowns.
Yeah. yeah, there's a lot. And that's, you know, I peruse the UFC Undisputed forums, and I see people talking about, you know, here's how you win online. You know, get the guy to the ground. Just take him down as soon as you can. Just don't let him back up. It's too hard. You can't do damage from the bottom. So just keep him on the ground. And I think that's what ends up happening online, or you end up, you know, with the lucky shots on your feet. But most people don't want to go head-to-head on your feet, it seems like, online, and that's probably why. So, you know, we've talked about in the past a little bit about the PFC. You want to make a pitch for the PFC? Do we still need people for that?
At first I thought we didn't, but we probably do. There's a lot of the first card, I got to be honest, isn't going that well. There hasn't been a whole lot of fights completed, and I haven't had a luck getting a hold of a lot of people. I think, like you were saying, it's big. Everybody was real excited, and the online release was a little pretty big disappointment. And I think a lot of people backed off of it after that. But
yeah.
I mean, as of now, it works decently. I can get fights. You know, I can get fights every, you know, 5 minutes, no problem. But
yeah.
I want people to give it a chance because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, those first few days of really an online disaster.
Painful.
Yeah, it hurt the league too, and I think it hurt their online base in general. People already, you know, I see enough about people already having dumped copies of their game. They've sold it. And if online is a frustrating thing, you know, people just aren't going to... There's a statistic that every year, you know, there's a certain amount of people who go online with the game, play it once, and then never go back to it. And we've probably seen 50% of the people try to play UFC online the first two or three days, get frustrated, and then it's just not worth it after that for a lot of people. You know, unlike us who are sticking around, I stick around to at least cover things. You know, people don't want to just invest the time, waste that time. They can play something else, you know. So if you're interested in participating in the PFC, head in the forum, sign up, we'll get you a fighter, we'll get going. Our fight camp idea, because the fight camps weren't working initially, that was halted for a bit. I think we're trying to ramp back up on that. If you're interested in being in the fight camp, you can also sign up in the forum there. So, all right, let's move on a little bit to some Madden talk. The team ratings came out, and I don't think these are going to be final, but they're going to be pretty close to final. They can still change depending on, you know, if there's a signing. There's still Terrell Owens out there. He might be enough to bump a team 1 point depending on the guy he's replacing on the roster. You know, if Brett Favre coming back, if he doesn't come back, that would obviously affect Minnesota's rating. So, Fred, we've got your Bears coming in at a 77. How do you think do you feel like that's a fair fit? That's 9 points above Detroit, which it's kind of a big gap there. Detroit looks like kind of an interesting Madden team this year, actually. And then that's 10 points behind Green Bay. Do you think that's a fair fit there?
Well, you know, I've never really taken putting too much stock in any of these ratings when it comes to team ratings or player ratings, because no one's ever going to be happy. I guess if you were to compare where they are in conjunction to some of the other teams, I really don't think that they're 10 points below Green Bay. But again, they really didn't do much last year. You know, they went 7-9. So it's up to them to prove them wrong and to make their ratings better.
They added Julius Peppers, though, right? You think that'd be a pretty
I mean, they added Peppers. They added, what's his name? Chester Taylor, you know?
Yeah.
They added a couple good pieces. I mean, I don't really care about their Madden rating. I think as long as they're better in the real NFL, that's all I really care about. But as far as Madden, I don't think that they're 10 points worse. I don't know. It's just a different comparison. Like, if I were to say, are they 10 points worse than Green Bay in real life? No, I don't think so. But in Madden, they probably are, because you look at Aaron Rodgers' rating in Madden versus Jay Cutler's. You look at their wide receivers versus the Bears in Madden. It's like, yeah, and even in real life, those wide receivers are better than the Bears. But, again, it's just I think when you compare them to the other teams, they're probably about where they should be. Now, if they were rated worse than Detroit and Madden, then I would kind of have a problem with it. But,
yeah.
But, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay are the two teams that beat in the North, and, you know, that's really all I can compare them to at this point. So I'm not too disappointed. 77, you know, that can change throughout the year. It's up to the Bears to actually make themselves better, you know, and I'm going to play with them regardless. I don't really find myself playing online too much anyways. I think the only few people I play are you and a handful of other guys from the site, so I'm not too worried about their ratings.
Yeah, so the top five teams, the Saints, followed by the Colts, Ravens, Jets, and Vikings. The Jets are up there. Obviously, they made a nice run at the end of the season last year, and they've added some pretty big-name pieces to the team. And then the Vikings, Dylan. So the Vikings coming in at an 88, fifth highest rated team. You think that's a fair spot for them?
All depends on Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Where
would they fall if they don't have Brett Favre?
I think they should be probably back at a 79 or an 80 without Favre.
Yeah. you'd be rolling with Tavares Jackson.
Yeah, and I think if they give him a chance in real life, he could do okay. He could be a serviceable starter.
But we got him to the playoffs.
It'll never happen. It'll never happen, though. He's never going to get a shot.
Yeah. Brett Favre will probably – I mean, everyone assumes he'll be back this year. And if he's not – or actually, even if he comes back, they're going to draft a guy next year or whatever, bring somebody new in. I was looking at the Seahawks here. Obviously, I think they've had a pretty interesting offseason and had a fantastic draft. And they came in with a 75, which sounds low, but I can't complain about it because it's just 4 points behind San Francisco and Arizona. So you could, you know, theoretically, if they start winning games, they could end up being the top team in the NFC West without being a powerhouse. So I'm satisfied with that 75 rating. That puts him middle of the road with the chance for improvement. You know, seeing Arizona drop all the way to the 79, that's the team that lost the most points from last year, obviously. You know, with Kurt Warner retiring, that's the biggest thing. But they lost a couple other pieces, too, that they probably factored in there. And then the Redskins got the biggest bump. It seems like, don't the Redskins always seem to get the biggest bump because they always sign the big-name guys?
Yeah, it seems that way. And then they're just not very good in real life.
Yeah, and then they try to, you know, trade Haynesworth the very next year. You know? anyways, the Madden ratings are out. It's great. Topic for people to argue about. Everybody loves to argue about their teams and who's overrated, who's underrated. Player ratings, I wouldn't expect that for a while. I'm going to try to grab some from E3, but otherwise I don't think they're going to release that until, you know, after NCAA football actually comes out. Another Madden topic, which is kind of interesting. So we have the team ratings. That's one way to evaluate who you're playing online, but you know, we've never had really the sense to know. Especially in if I play Fred, you know, we basically have a good feel for how each of us plays, right? So, but if I go and play some random guy online, I have no idea. There's no, you know, I don't know if he's a running guy, if he's a passing guy. I don't know if he's a scrambler. I don't know if he blitzes a lot. But in every sport, teams scout their opponents. There's just never been, at least with Madden, a way to get a sense of who you're going up against. This year they're adding online scouting. You'll be able to pull up a report on yourself or on your opponent that'll give away their tendencies in certain situations. I think it's a fantastic idea. The disappointing part to it is that you're going to be earning coins by playing online, but you can also buy coins in order to spend them on scouting reports, which means people who spend money are going to have a pretty big advantage there. And I always go back to Madden Ultimate Team, the free mode they added to Madden 10. And you could theoretically play that without spending extra money, but you are at a huge disadvantage, and actually to the point where really it couldn't be much fun that way. Fred, any chance you would ever pay to get get a scouting report on your opponent?
No, not at all. Zero. I would not pay a single cent for that.
And you know what's the most, you know what's the most crushing thing about it, though, is like in an environment where we play, you know, like let's say an online franchise, they're not doing scouting for that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But, you know, I fall in that same boat that you said. Like, you know, we play the same guys, and we have been playing the same guys for years, so we kind of know how they play. You know, we know a scouting report better than anything EA is going to give us on these guys. So I don't play random guys online that I would pay for that. So, no, I'm not paying any money for that.
Dylan, would you spend money on a scouting report?
Well, I do play random guys online, and absolutely not would I ever pay for that, because this is going to make me more angry when I lose.
That's right. You know, you're going to be paying money to lose. That's kind of, you know, it's one thing to lose and be like, all right, well, I had no idea going in that game. But then to say, you know, I got my ass kicked, and I knew what this guy was going to do, and I still got my ass kicked. Yeah, that's probably a little more shameful, right?
Right.
But, you know, I would have liked – I thought it would work perfect for online franchise because remember when we used to run leagues in the past, and then you'd have, like, a scouting report on each team where somebody would play him, then they drop kind of thoughts, you know, he likes to, you know, throw a swing pass to the running back or something often, and then you'd have a little bit of scouting anyways. I thought this would work great for online franchise. Unfortunately, they're not doing it because, I mean, when you think about it, they couldn't make money on it that way. Or there'd be imbalance because some people in a franchise would be paying for it, some wouldn't, and then you'd have the complaint about it being imbalanced. I was thinking that a great thing would be to, hey, if you're going to charge for it, be like, okay, $5 for the entire franchise to have it, and then everybody gets the full scouting reports. I'd pay the $5 for my franchise to have full scouting. But on an individual basis, they're not going to make as much money on it that way. You play in an online franchise game, you're not playing in online ranked games where you could be spending money on scouting reports. It's unfortunate, but that's what it's come to. Cool concept. I'd love to be able to scout guys, like hop on my computer when I'm bored and scout you, Fred, just for the hell of it. Scout myself, see what I'm doing in some situations. I'm not going to spend money on it, though. I think that's the general consensus, but there are going to be a lot of people who do. So we'll see how that turns out, and maybe at some point in the future they'll make it free. I wouldn't count on it, though. another story I posted up this week, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on, is Peter Moore, EA Sports president, saying that he's not really sold in different words, but he's basically not sold on 3D gaming for sports games. He said that you kind of have to change the camera angles so you can get the right depth, and it just it wasn't providing a compelling experience where it's adding value. So we're going to be seeing a ton of stuff at E3 come out of there having to do with 3D games being demoed, 3D technology. It's going to be a ton about 3D, but I don't think we're going to see much on sports games in 3D. You guys, Fred, any interest in 3D in your home? Gaming?
You know, I don't know. I think I'd be kind of interested just to see how it is. You know, if it was something that was done right and you kind of like felt like you were immersed in the game, I think that would be pretty cool. I just think it's funny that Peter Moore is saying that, you know, they're not sold on it. These are the same guys that weren't sold on MMA, and now all of a sudden they're trying to get in the MMA game, you know? So they'll change their tune, I think, if things start coming around with this. But like I said, I think it would have to be done right. I don't want to just sit there playing with these glasses on and, you know, it just doesn't feel... It doesn't feel really like it's any advantage to playing with that over, you know, just normal play. But I think it's something that I can get into, you know, if it was done right. And I'd be curious to see how it is, you know, how the glasses are, you know, how does it feel when you're playing it, or is it something that's just, like, really cheap and it doesn't feel right?
And maybe that's the problem right now, is because Peter Moore seemed pretty excited about the idea a couple months ago. Now he's seen it. He's seen it in action.
Oh yeah, it's okay.
With the games, yeah, okay. So they basically rolled out prototypes, and he's seen them, and he said, you know, this isn't what we're trying to do here. So maybe it's just a matter of time before they get to 3D gaming making more sense for these. Now, I don't know. I would think I'd be more interested in 3D than I would in motion. Dylan, do you have an opinion on the 3D? Are you more interested in 3D or motion? I'm curious, because I really don't like motion controls for the most part. You know, I'm not a big Wii guy, and you know, sports games just really haven't worked with motion, the exception of individual games like golf. What do you think? What do you think about the prospects of 3D? What do you think? You know, where that could fit in, since both consoles are now going to motion also, but then we're probably going to see 3D within the next year or two.
Is neither an option?
Yeah,
I'm not the motion we've talked about before. I don't have any interest in motion control. I play video games so I can sit and relax, and you know, I don't want to have to wail my arms around and kick at the screen and stuff, and I don't want to break my $1,000 TV either. As far as the 3D, I can see that maybe 10 years down the road, but I'm not willing to give up resolution or contrast or frame rate for the sake of having it pop out at my face. And I'm just not willing to do it. I'll go for a quality, higher quality image before I'll go for sacrifice to a 3D image just to have it be 3D.
You know, kind of a funny story. I was just reading the other day about this family that was testing out on Natal this river rafting game, and basically they're all flailing around like these two parents and a couple kids, and then one of the parents accidentally smacks the kid in the face. This is the kind of stuff that's going to happen with motion control. It doesn't work. It sells on the Wii because it's Nintendo. I don't know if these things are going to work when it comes to most households. I'm not big on either. 3D could be interesting, but we'll have to see. You know, half the time when I'm playing games, I'm not even paying 100% full attention to it. So I don't know how much it would benefit me. So 3D is going to be big at E3. But let's go ahead and talk about some of the sports games Dylan and I will be checking out when we're there. On the floor will be NCAA football and Madden and NBA Jam and EA Sports MMA. Those are the four that I know will be on the floor and accessible to play really as much as we can. NHL, FIFA, NBA Elite, NBA 2K11 will have a presence there, but I don't think they're going to be out for people to play. And then, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff to do with Project Natal, which will have a different name as of next week, and PlayStation Move, and implementing that one into Tiger Woods. There's also an untitled fighting game coming out from EA Sports early next year. That one, I'm pretty sure, is going to be Fight Night. Whether it's has some element of motion control in it will probably be the interesting thing to find out. They might announce that, they might not. So we'll find out. Fred, what game are you looking forward to hearing about the most?
You know, I don't really have one, to be honest.
Wow, you really bring me down here, man.
Yeah, come I know. On. You know, I always just like hearing about Madden, and I'm glad you're going because I know I'll get some pretty decent impressions, and you know what people like, you know, the hardcore guys like. So that there's the regulars, man. That NCAA and a couple basketball titles. But that's really it, man. My gaming's like just kind of dipped.
How about non-sports game? You have anything you're interested coming out in the next few months or down the line?
No, not really. I got UFC, yeah. But that was a sports game, and shit, man, I don't have anything really.
you got to be looking forward to Crackdown, right?
Well, you know, I did like the first Crackdown. I did like playing online with you know Outsider and I forgot who else was Tim Buck too was playing.
Tim, yeah.
But you know, if that game's any as good as any other one that's out there right now, then I'll definitely probably pick it up. But that's the problem, man, is like with this baby, I don't really have time to game anymore. Like, you know, it's like really late at night, and by the time I go to sleep, I'm like dead tired. I got to get up in the morning. So
you're bumming me out, man.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, gaming time has gone down immensely. I don't even know what the hell's coming out soon. You know, I just know that sports titles, because they come out the same time every year, and that's at this point, that's really all I'm looking for.
Yeah, Crackdown 2 4-player co-op now. So, yeah, you should get that one and get on with Dylan and I, and we'll wreck the city. Dylan. Yes. Your expectations. What game are you most? Since you're actually going to be there, your first time ever, and I've told you that it's interesting the first time, but also very tiring. And then you start to realize it's more work than anything. At least when you're covering for a website. What are you looking forward to checking out the most? Sports game and non-sports game.
Well, sports game first of all it would be EA MMA. That would be my number one for sports. Other than that, I'm not big into basketball. Football, I like, but it seems like I can just go to your site to find that stuff.
Hey.
And non-sports, probably most excited for Fallout New Vegas. That one I've been looking forward to for quite a while. The new Batman, the Arkham Asylum 2, I believe that's what they're going to call it. But yeah, those are probably my two biggest ones.
Yeah, that one, the first one really was received well. You excited for the Project Natal stuff?
Not at all.
Not at all, Dylan.
I hate motion control.
Dylan, this is like my worst nightmare with this motion control stuff, because if I ever have the day where I'm like filming video for my website of impressions of a game and there's video of me like doing like flailing around, then you can just kill me right then. so if somebody catches me on film like trying out one of these motion control sports games, I may just quit at that point. I don't have much interest in it. I'm curious, especially with Natal. I really don't give a crap about PlayStation Move. It's basically just the Wii. See what they'll do with Natal, because there's some interesting things they can do with that that are different than just having a controller in your hands. So. Dylan and I, we'll be down there, and we're going to do some podcasts from location and on the night before, and then the first day of, and then probably the next day. So, just with some quick thoughts and everything. And I've been telling people, you know, make sure you follow me on Twitter, follow the site on Facebook. I'll be uploading pictures and videos throughout the day when I'm there. You can also follow Dylan at DillFav. He never updates his Twitter, but he will. He will do it for this, right, Dylan?
Oh, yeah. I'll be available to answer. I've already committed to answering a few questions, and I'd be more than happy to answer questions for anybody, even for, you know, it's probably especially more for non-sports games, since you'll have the sports game stuff pretty well covered.
Yeah, you're going to be checking out, you know, the last couple times I've gone to E3, I haven't really spent much time with other games. You're going to be checking more out than I am in that regard. So, yeah, just a week away. We're excited for that, everybody. We'll be covering that the hell out of that. So make sure to check back next week. Let's flip over to some entertainment talk here before we sign off. Thought we'd get a few things out of the way here. You know, they released some. I don't know, they actually didn't release. They kind of leaked out concept images of Thor, which we had actually seen an official image of Chris Hemsworth as Thor and Captain America, which we kind of had an idea of the description of the costume for Captain America, but we actually have it laid out now with those concept images and how Chris Evans will look as Captain America. Dylan's more of the, I think, the Marvel history guy, right?
I know my fair share.
Yeah. So you know more than me. What did you think about the looks of the guys?
I think Thor, they didn't go the classic look, which I think was the right decision. It's more of a, it still fits with the Norse type image, but it's not goofy as his original costume was. You know, it's a tin hat with some wings and some big. It looks a little bit like the village people, honestly, his original costume. So I think they went the right way with that. For Captain America, it looks right, except just a little thing for me, and I mentioned this on your comments, they need the wings on his hood. They need to at least draw them on there.
Why, do you think there's a reason why that's not on there? Do you think that's maybe his first costume and he revises it at some point? I don't really know the story behind it. What's the reasoning for the wings?
I don't really know the reason, actually, to be honest with you, but I think now that you mentioned it, though, they weren't there originally. There is a reason that they were added on.
Yeah, so I wonder, that was kind of my thought, is maybe it's just like his early look and then he upgrades it. But we also had Jeremy Renner. It's pretty much a sure thing he's going to be Hawkeye. You think he's a good fit? It seems like everywhere I go, people are talking about he makes a lot of sense for that.
If anybody ever cared about Hawkeye, I guess he would make a good fit.
Yeah, he was kind of a side character, right? He kind of flip-flopped, right?
He's been kind of a, I wouldn't say hated, but just like annoying character. Nobody's really ever cared about Hawkeye. They've tried multiple Hawkeye, you know, standalone series, and they've all failed. I mean, it's a good thing they got a quality actor to play that role, because if they didn't, nobody would care, and I don't think anybody's going to care anyway, but maybe they will a little now.
You think they'll spin it off to a Hawkeye film afterwards? You think there's the potential for that?
No. It's not a main character. It's a side character.
I wonder why then he would sign on, because he's an up-and-coming star. I wonder why he would sign on for what, in an Avengers movie, is probably going to be a really small part.
I would say probably because Avengers is going to be a huge movie no matter what role you play in it.
Yeah.
So he's going to get a lot of recognition just for being in that movie.
Yeah, the exposure. So we also have another, of course, comic book adaptation with the next Batman. Fred, you posted about the news that Chris Nolan said, you know, there's absolutely no chance they're going to use the Joker in any way in this movie. So with the Joker out of the question, do you have an idea? Or a thought on where they should go for the villains for this, what will be the final chapter?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure at this point. You know, you've heard many rumors, you've heard the Riddler. I don't know, to me it just seems like the Riddler's too close of a villain to, like, the Joker, you know, where, well, why would you go that route? But then I hear Catwoman and I just want to gag. I really don't think Nolan will go with someone like Catwoman. I mean, you look at what he did in Batman Begins. He took one of the villains, Ra's al Ghul, who, you know, he's not one of the more popular villains in the comics, you know. So I think maybe he'll go that route, and we won't really see one of the main villains like the Riddler or the Catwoman. And I think before you were talking, you mentioned that the Penguin was out of the running too for that.
Yeah, I think that's been crossed off the list at some point.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really not sure at this point who they're gonna go with. But either way, I have faith in Nolan to do the right thing. I mean, the guy's track record speaks for itself, you know. So
yeah, Inception, we got coming up here. I'm pretty excited for that one too, and hopefully I'll get to see that one before it releases. That'll probably be one they screen. But that's gonna be, you know, Christopher Nolan's really, yeah, he's got that. He's got the cred now. I don't think anybody's really worried about how this, you know, who they're gonna end up choosing, because they're not gonna make him cartoony. So. By the way, this is just totally out of left field, but when you mentioned Catwoman, for some reason Kim Kardashian came to mind, just as a joke. But did you hear the story that I don't know if there's anything behind it, but it's been reported at a lot of places that she may take over in Tomb Raider.
No, Lara Croft. No, right? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Dylan, do you like that idea?
Since when does she act?
Yeah,
this is what she wants to get into, Dylan.
That's terrible. That's the worst thing I've ever
heard. Well, does anyone even watch those Tomb Raider movies to begin with?
They made decent money for a video game adaptation. I think they were worldwide, especially. I think it actually plays better overseas.
Really, I've never seen a single one of those movies, and there's like two or three of them now, isn't there?
Dylan, there was at least two. Dylan, what? Yes. How can you cross her off the list? You don't even know. Maybe diamond in the rough right here.
Oh God.
Well, I mean, as long as they only filmed her from the back, I guess it would be okay. Yeah.
Imagine if it's in 3D, Dylan.
I would probably check that out.
Yeah, okay, so it's settled. All right. What? You have something else to add?
Yeah, I was going to, about the Batman villain. I was going to say,
jump in. I just got off track there.
It's okay. There's only one right way to do this, and that's Bane. To undisgrace Bane as he was disgraced in the third Batman movie. that is one of the best villains any series, any comic ever. And the clash they have in that comic series is classic.
Yeah,
to bring him back the way that he should be brought back would be do an honor to the Batman series, and it would be right up his alley as far as not being goofy.
Wow, there's some real passion right there, Dylan.
Yes, that was my passion.
I'm proud of you. All right, and I honestly had no idea what you're talking about. So,
Bane breaks Batman's back in the comic series.
Oh, okay.
He's a really good villain. I mean, his story is really interesting too. I don't know how Nolan would do it though, in the theme that he's been keeping the movies somewhat realistic, mm-hmm. You don't see these over the top villains, but yeah, I agree with you, man. The way that they butchered Bane in, what the hell was that one? Is it Batman and Robin that he was in with?
Right.
Was that Clooney? Was that Clooney?
Yeah, it was Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze. And,
oh, that was one of the few movies. I don't walk out of movies. I think I've only walked out on three in my life. I think I walked out on that one, if I remember right.
That was the worst Batman I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the only thing I can think of from that movie is nipples. That's it.
Dylan, every movie you see, you come out and talk about nipples. So don't tell. True. Don't tell. True. That. So we actually, just moving on to one more thing here. Dylan and I, we both saw two movies at screenings. We saw Splice and we saw Get Him to the Greek. I don't even know if we agree on Splice, because I don't think we even really still understand our true feelings on that movie. But we definitely split on Get Him to the Greek. So let's talk about Splice first, Dylan. This was, to me, I wrote the review. You were going to write the review, but I had a feeling that you didn't have a sense of how, what you were going to say about it, because I didn't when we walked out. And I thought, I thought it was kind of a weirdly entertaining movie. It was definitely different, but very difficult for me to recommend to somebody because it was so different. Now that we've had a week for it to settle in, what do you feel about Splice at this point?
I'd have to go with the fact that I liked it. I think I liked it. It's you walk out very confused. At least I did. The previews don't do it any justice. Don't watch the previews and think you know what this movie's about, because you don't. It's a lot different than the previews. It's not a typical horror movie. It's more of a kind of out there sci-fi movie. And if you're in for that kind of a feel, I would go check that.
So, Fred, for you, you were disappointed somewhat in Human Centipede. Maybe you would like Splice.
Yeah,
it's not the gross out type of thing, but it's very. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very unsettling, some of the things that happen.
Well, yeah, no, you kept talking about that. I'm thinking, that just makes me want to see the movie even more. But, I mean, I would go to the theater and watch this movie right now after this podcast if I knew Ken Jeong was in the movie.
No, you can't. He can't be in every movie. Oh, damn. And every movie. It's funny. I just started – you mentioned that, but I just started watching Party Down. And I'm on to, episode 5 or something now.
Yeah.
And Ken Jeong, I literally, before we started this podcast, I watched an episode and it had Ken Jeong in it.
How is that series? I've heard people rave about that thing. Is it pretty good?
I'm liking it so far. I think it's getting better as it go. What I'm really liking about it though is as a fan of
Ken Jeong?
Of Veronica Mars. No, not Ken Jeong. Not Ken Jeong. But of Veronica Mars. It's practically a Veronica Mars reunion. I'm seeing they have everybody who was in that show is either a main actor or is appearing as a guest in different episodes, which is awesome. I love Veronica Mars, and I didn't realize that Party Down was I think it was partially, at least co-created by Rob Thomas, who created and wrote Veronica Mars. So I'm getting into that now, and then I'm going to catch up. It's on Netflix, so I'm watching it through my 360 and then catching on Stars. But yeah, back to I'd recommend Party Down. I'm starting to get into that now. But we also had the movie that Dylan and I completely disagreed on, and Dylan's gonna walk in and he's gonna cite Rotten Tomatoes score 71% or whatever the hell it is.
76.
Oh, wow, 76%. Yeah, I am a little surprised that it's getting that high. I thought the movie was kind of a mess. I admittedly laughed at a lot of stuff in it. So there's some funny stuff, but I thought as a movie, it was kind of a mess. I didn't like any of the characters, and that's what kills it for me. If I don't have a character, at least one that I can kind of either identify with or root for, it kind of kills a movie for me. And there was everybody in that movie did something stupid where I was like, come on. Now, Dylan, you thought it was the funniest thing in the world, so sell the movie.
I thought it was one of the funny movies I'd seen in a while. I'll be honest, the story is retarded. The story sucks. But the situations they set up, in my opinion, are quite hilarious. I mean, I laughed through the whole thing. I was laughing so much it hurt at some points. All I can say is furry wall.
I didn't think that was that funny.
How did you not? That was hilarious.
Because it was just ludicrous. Like the whole, like you said, the situations are ridiculous. And like, yeah, we both laughed at a lot of stuff. You laughed at more than I did. But I thought there was funny. There were definitely funny moments. And I thought actually the star of the movie, let's see if you agree with me, I thought P. Diddy was the best part of the movie.
I'd say he was the best, yeah. Surprisingly, because I was surprised that he was actually hilarious. He was funny.
They should take a spinoff and now do a P. Diddy movie. Except let's just leave what's his name out of this one, because Forgetting Sarah Marshall, loved it. One of my favorite comedies the last few years. I still think it's kind of stupid that they took Jonah Hill, who played a role in that first movie, and put him in this spinoff, and he's a completely different character.
Who plays that role better though?
Plays what, the dumbass,
the fat goofy guy, and don't say me.
Yeah, you would. The fat goofy guy. Well, yeah. I mean, did they write that with a fat goofy guy in mind?
I think so.
They should have done the whole movie with Aziz Ansari. He was in it for like 10 seconds. They should have just done it with him.
I thought Jonah Hill was excellent in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I thought he was funny in that movie.
He is, but I don't know about carrying a movie. This is something Dylan and I talked about beforehand, and I'm curious if you agree with me, Dylan. We talked about, what's his name? Aldous Snow, played by
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, yeah. We talked about, he hilarious in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but, could you put up with that throughout, 100 minutes of a full movie where he's the star? And I think he kind of wore on me a little bit. Definitely, I think I like him better as a bit guy, somebody who drops in and is funny for a few moments in a scene, and then you move on to something else. Do you think he can carry another movie, Dylan, or do you think he carried this movie?
If he would just do comedy, yes. I think if they would have taken out those awkward, really badly acted emotional moments, yeah, I think you would have liked the movie a lot more.
Honestly. Yeah, that really didn't fit at all. I was like, why are they trying to make this sentimental? Like they, with the Judd Apatow movies, there's usually an element of sentimentalness, but you're endeared to the characters throughout the movie in those. And like I said, I didn't like anybody in this movie. They made me laugh at times, but I didn't like them. So when they went, like, it was just really weird. The pacing didn't feel right to me, and it just jumped from place to place. You liked it, though. It seems like people who know what they're getting into going to the movie are liking it by looking at different scores online. So maybe I'm the one that's wrong. I don't know. Maybe I just think, obviously with a comedy, people have different tastes. Dylan, you seem to like those in-your-face comedies a little more. I tend to like the subtle, maybe dark humor comedies a little more. But yeah, so Splice Review, Get Him to the Greek Review on the website. You can check those out. And I think that'll do it for our three-way. Guys, this three-way went went really. I'm surprised I had the stamina, guys.
Wow, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, and with that, let's end the show.
Yeah, exactly. So, thanks to Dylan, thanks to Fred, of course, for joining in. Everybody, make sure to check out the E3 coverage next week. The site will be blowing up with that stuff, and I'll have a ton of updates as we go along. So, everybody, thanks for listening in to this extended three-person edition of the Padre Cast, and I'll catch you next week. Take care.